You watch Akiba? Son of a watch?
Yeah.
Thanks. We're in Sefer Maseiros Yesharim, we're in Perek Gimel. We were speaking about the mistakes that a person can make when they're in the darkness. Hata'ut ha-sheni hu kasheh min ha-rishon. The second mistake from being in darkness, you would think would be less of an issue. When it's pitch black and you can't see anything and a person falls even before they identify what the issue is, that one you would think would be worse. But it says the Maseiros Yesharim, the second one is even greater than the first. Shemateh ri'atan, it twists a person's way of looking. Ad sheroim hara ki'ilu hu mamash tov, until a person sees something which is evil, but he reinterprets it as if it's good. V'hatov, and that which is good, he reinterprets ki'ilu hu ra. U'mitoch kach mitchazkim u'mechazkim ma'aseihem haraim. And through that, not only does the person himself do bad, but he also encourages others to do bad. When a person does something which is wrong, it's difficult for him to live with himself. Every person always wants to feel that he's justified in what he's doing. So one of the ways that a person justifies what he's doing is by encouraging other people to do the same. And that way he feels strengthened in what he's doing. It must be good what I'm doing. Look, these people are doing it and those people are doing it. I'll prove to you that it's correct by encouraging many other people to do it. And that way, instead of him feeling guilty about doing a bad thing, he's convincing himself that what he's doing is okay, because look, now many other people are doing it as well. It's one thing to go through the world where you know what's good and you know what's bad, and you just have chosen or have recognized that you have a weakness. But people can't live like that. People can't live with the feeling that they're bad or that they're doing something wrong. So they will justify and look at the world through a filter where whatever they're doing is good, and they will find justifications for why what they're doing is good. And that's a worse mistake. Like we spoke about, I spoke about it with Shana, I'll mention it again, just for the value of... There was once a yeshiva that was not an orthodox yeshiva, but it was an Israel program. And I was speaking to someone over a Shabbos who was learning at that, when I was in Shana Aleph, and I was speaking to someone who was my year in that yeshiva. The yeshiva doesn't exist anymore. For many years it hasn't existed. And we were debating the Oral Torah and the validity of the Oral Torah. And it really, really deeply bothered me, like how the hashkafa that this yeshiva was espousing. And I phoned one of my mentors to ask him about it. And he said to me that it's worse to go to that yeshiva than not to go to yeshiva at all. Because if a person doesn't go to yeshiva at all, then they're still aware that they don't know. They're still pure. They may not have a hashkafa, but in that sense they're pure. Because they know they don't know, and they're open to hear when the opportunity presents itself to hear. But when a person has a false hashkafa, who the whole goal of the hashkafa is proving why their way is the right way, and it goes against Torah, it's very, very hard for them afterwards to then go back and learn about Torah in an authentic manner. Because they already have a belief which they've spent time justifying. And then if they hear Torah ideas, it's coming kind of after the fact, when it's already messy and dirty and sticky, and they're trying to like clean up all the mess and trying to clarify the ideas. The Yetzer Hara, if you didn't see anything, you made a mistake, you might learn from that. You might say, okay, that was wrong, I'm going to pay attention next time. But when you get to a state of being confused, where things that are bad you explain as them being good, and when things that are good you explain them being bad, then it's much harder, because the whole value system is confused. That's what we spoke about the other day, about how the Western society uses negative words as positive words, in order to confuse good with bad and bad with good, where the value system is being messed up. Metoch kach, not only does the person himself then justify the negative that he's doing, because he claims that it's good. Ki ein dai shechasera mehem riata emet. Not only do they not see what the truth is, lirot hara'a asher neged penehem, to see the bad that's in front of their faces, ele shenireh lehem limtzo rayot gedolot, but they go out of their way to find great proofs, the nisyonot, and experiments that have been done, mochichim lesvarateihem, they have to prove it. What do they need to prove? Their ra'ot, their bad logic, or the deoteihem hakozvot. I remember once I was in a car on the way back from a wedding in Yerushalayim. We passed by Yad Binyamin. At that time, was 15 years ago. At that time, in Yad Binyamin, there were many caravans, caravilot, actually. And who was living in these caravilot? It was Jews who had been expelled from their homes in Gush Katif, in Gaza, and they'd been relocated in these temporary homes. And they were there for a long time, many years, until they were able to build proper homes, and they were mistreated in a certain way. I was in a car with people who their outlook of the world was not in favor of Israel, or settling the land of Israel, let's say. So as we drove past that neighborhood, then the husband and wife were talking, and they said, what are those over there? And they said, oh, those are where the Gush Katif families were uprooted and what's they're being. Yeah, all they want is money. All they want is money. That's why they could go to hotels, they enjoyed the hotels, they were enjoying themselves in the hotels, and now they're acting as if they're pathetic just to squeeze more money out of the government. Now I was very, very tangentially involved in it. I didn't live there. I went to visit there a couple of times. But I was from the world, the same kind of broader group of the people who lived there. And I was very much witnessing and following the dialogue that was going on in the minds of all the people who lived there and what their motives were. And you couldn't be further away from being self-centered. They couldn't be further away from having any objective other than doing the will of Hashem and doing what seemed right in their eyes at the time. Of founding yeshuvim, founding Talmud Torah and yeshivas in every yeshuv, founding agriculture and developing the country. That was their sole objective, their sole goal. But when you're looking from a perspective where your perspective is one of other things, other values, then when you look at that person, you project your values onto them. It can't be they're doing it for a lofty reason, a high reason. I wouldn't do it for those reasons. I don't have that value system. But I like money, or I like honor, or I like going to hotels. So it must be that the reason why they're doing it is for that reason. So when a person who has a different mindset tries to interpret someone else's actions, they can only interpret, if they're not, you know, very open, they can only interpret it through the lens that they look at the world through. And if their lens happens to be a negative one, or like I'd say a self-centered one, an example that I just gave, right, then they will presume and suppose that other people are also self-centered and are doing things from some objective that they have from a self-centered perspective as well. That's how they'll view the world. And that's worse. It's one thing if you say, I don't know why those people are doing what they're doing. Tzarich iyun. That's fine. You don't need to know. But then you can go and listen to them and ask them, well, what are you interested in? What are your values? You can be open to hear what they're about. But when you have a confusion in your mind of values and you're imposing your values on them, and you're presuming that what they're doing is for you, the reason you think you would do it, then you might be placing negative on positive. Now, truth is that every value at its core is positive. Every value at the core, before it's expressed, is positive. Just when it's expressed, some are expressed in a positive way and sometimes expressed in a negative way. So if you take something this is a harsh topic, but There's an Israeli organization for the honor of terrorists. That when terrorists have killed Jews and the Israeli government wants to demolish their homes, there's an organization called Kavod HaAdam, Honor of Man, who their objective is to stop the Israeli government from destroying the home of the terrorist and to uphold the terrorists. They don't call them terrorists, they call them freedom fighters. But those people, and those are Jewish Israelis who are doing this. So when the family of the victim, the family of a Jew who was killed, comes to court, then suddenly they're attacked, verbally attacked, by other Jews who are saying, how can you testify against this terrorist? Don't you care for Kavod HaAdam? And it just doesn't, they don't even know how to process that. Kavod HaAdam? Kavod Adam, he killed our son. Where's the Kavod Adam? Oh, you want revenge? That's what you want? You want to take revenge? That's not Kavod Adam. And they just start using morals, in the name of morals, to speak against the victims. Now, what happened there? At least, from my perspective, that doesn't seem yashar. Right? No, I was putting it gently. It doesn't seem yashar. So what happened? Are these bad people? They're not bad people. The value they're upholding is a true and important value. but it's currently being expressed in a twisted and thwarted way, in a way which is actually serving the exact opposite of what we're trying to serve. Chazal tell us that if a person has mercy on someone who's cruel, someone who's kind to someone who's you're supposed to be cruel on, he's going to end up being cruel. And a classic example is if someone has an addiction and you provide them with money, then it seems like you're being kind to them. And it may be within you it's coming from a good place. I love this person, I want to help them. But you have to be aware of the situation and what is the best way to respond to the particular situation. So we are confused what's good and what's bad. And sometimes what looks to us to be good, I want to help. Yes, you want to help, but your helping right now is causing harm. And if we don't have clarity in our values of what's good and what's bad, that's much worse than just not knowing. Because if you don't know and you're confused, then you say, okay, I don't know, let me go and ask. Ask Torah. Ask professional, someone who knows something here. But when you have values, but the values are all twisted, and you're not sure how to interpret what's good and what's bad anymore, then you feel empowered in the name of Torah. There was a very unfortunate dialogue on the email recently. In one of my children's schools, they said that the children can only come in if they've been tested. They're too young to be vaccinated, but they can only come in if they've been tested. And a particular individual who's a parent of a child in the school, who's outspokenly anti-vaccination, started writing to the whole school, 400 emails. It was a mistake that the school sent out. That was a mistake. But anyway, they found an email where they got the emails of all the parents of the whole entire school, all the parents of eight grades, and they started sending out all their Torahs that they had to share, and all their YouTube videos of professional people who were saying why it's terrible. And then they said, "Anachnu chayavim lishmo al Torah, nishmo nafshotechem. Zeratzon Hashem. This is the will of Hashem that we take care of ourselves. How can you say to check the children? I'm not sure how checking is the problem, but it wasn't just checking. It was like it was giving in to the government who was saying that we have to believe this is a real thing. Devar sheker tilchak. They were saying, yeah." We have to follow Yashar Tov Yashar Bein Elokim, and it was ridiculous. They're taking quotes of Torah, right, for something which goes against basic common sense, and then they would say the same against everyone else. They would say, "What do you mean? Did you not see this latest YouTube video from someone who has no experience, but they're a media professional who says that it can stop having children in four generations? Did you not see that latest update? And you're going to put your children through that?" Now, I'm not getting into this political topic over here because this is a different Seder. It's not political Seder. That's a different time in Kavya. I'm just during the meals. But now we're in Musa Seder. So I'm not getting it. But the concept of Ra and Tov being confused is you'll say in the name of Hashem. In the name of Hashem, you'll say. Now, you can really, really say anything in the name of Hashem. Because Chazal aim for the full spectrum. On any midah, basically on any topic, the Rambam makes there's two topics that it's not true about, but basically on any topic, there's a spectrum. And then you'll always find statements of Chazal which are supporting people who are out of balance on one side of the spectrum. So you'll find statements like, the whole world was created just for you, and you'll also find statements, Have a shafal rach me'od me'od. So which is correct? It depends where you're holding on the spectrum. If you're arrogant, have a shafel rach me'od me'od. And if you have low self-esteem, the whole world is created for you. It just depends where you are on the spectrum. You need to hit different statements of Chazal. But you can basically take any agenda and say it in the name of God. And our obligation is to be yashar. And to identify which is the correct statement of Chazal that needs to be applied here. Not because I have an agenda and I'm looking for what statement of Chazal fits into what I want it to be. But rather because I'm taking an honest approach towards this topic and understanding what's the will of Hashem. So it's much worse when we confuse Tov ki'ilu hu ra, or ra ki'ilu tov, and then we strengthen ourselves in that belief in order to feel good about ourselves and justify what we're doing. Because not only are we not looking at the truth, but rather we look towards truth to find proofs, whether they're proofs from reality, evidence, or whether they're proofs from Torah, to support the false view. V'zoti ra'a gedola, hamarapafatam, which surrounds them and enwraps them. Because it's one thing if you don't know, you can learn from your mistake. You can ask someone else. But when you feel what you're doing is in the name of God, then you know who could stop you? This is the will of Hashem. You're going to tell me not to do the will of Hashem? How can you answer that? Et chata'ay ani maskir hayo. This is a mistake, and hopefully you can learn from these mistakes. But when I first got married, I didn't have the balance between learning in yeshiva versus spending time with my wife. The idea of shana rishona, which is supposed to invest more in your wife. I didn't have that balance. And I said, is it okay in Kayetzman, right? Is it okay if instead of coming home for that 45-minute break, is it okay if I learn more, and then I can learn between 7:30 and 8:15, and then daven Maariv, instead of coming home and coming back, not like I live 20 steps from the Beis Medrash, instead of going home and coming back, is it okay if I just like learn through that 45 minutes? And then I'll daven Maariv and I'll come after Maariv. And then my wife was like a little bit hesitant, and I wasn't so sensitive. And I said, like, it's merit of extra Torah will support our home. So my wife said, okay, so learn. And then like a while later, I saw she wasn't so happy. And like I'll come home at like 8:30, and like I saw like it would have been good if I would have come home earlier. So then I said, how are you feeling? What's going on? So she said, like, I feel I can't say anything to you about this topic. Like, what am I going to say? Don't learn Torah? I don't want you to learn? I can't say that. Like, I can't say those words. I can't say, I want you to stop learning Torah. But she said to me, but see, you didn't really give me a choice. Like, you basically set it up as, do you want this home to be a home of Torah or not? That was the two options you gave me here. So I said, Torah, right? But it went against what I feel is right. Like, she didn't say this, but like, the Chazal had a reason why they gave a Shana Rishona. It's building a solid foundation. But I was betraying that. And I was betraying it in the name of God. I was saying, I want to learn more Torah. It's going to support the home. And I set it up, unfortunately, in a way that like didn't really give her an option. So that was using something true, but in a false way, because I wasn't being sensitive to the truth of what needed to be here. I did it again in another case, but yeah, said it. One case a day is enough. The calls there, that's what it says in Yeshayahu. Hashmein leiv ha'am hazeh, ve'oznam achbeit, ve'inav hasham. The heart of the people became full of fat. They're not able to pump their heart. They're not able to breathe anymore. They're not able to function in an honest way. Their eyes are not hearing. Their ears are not listening. They've been totally kidnapped by their Yetzer Hara. They're not able to think independently anymore. But now let's go back to what we were saying initially. Who can we turn to? We can turn to the Chazal. They've left this trap. They're not in a place where they're confusing good and bad. They've clarified good. They were in it at one point as well. They also were under the shelter of the Yetzer Hara at some point where they confused good and bad. That's why they give advice to us, like not to make the same mistake they went through. They also didn't realize what was good and bad, and they made mistakes, or they confused good and bad and made bigger mistakes, but they went through that. And they're looking back and giving them advice. My grandfather, Arav Shalom, used to say to me when I was a boy, Yisrael Moshe, the Rishon, used to say, Tzvi, you don't need to make all the mistakes yourself. You can learn from other people's experience. That was one of his lines. So Chazal are telling us, like, we see what mistakes people have made in life. And this is the way out. V'hem ro'im ha'emet la'amito. What's it comparable to? Legana mabucha. It's comparable to a maze. Hampton Court maze. What is this exactly? It's a gan natua litzchok ha'yiduim etzal asarim. It's a special garden that was planted in a certain way for fun, for noble people. Noble meaning, yeah, not noble in values. Sha'nitziyot asuyot k'talim k'talim, u'b'neihem shvilim rabim nevuchim me'oravim. So the way a maze works is there's lots of parts. Kulam radomim zeh lezeh. They all look similar. V'tachrit behem. The whole point of the game is lagia lach sadra achat ve'emtzam. There's two types of maze. One where you go in one end and go at the other end, or you get to the central point. That's the goal of this type of maze. V'amnam ha'shvilim ha'ele mehem yisharim. Some of them lead to the right path. U'megi'im be'emet alach sadra, lead to that platform in the center. U'mehem meshagim et ha'adam. U'melchakim otomin. And there are others that make you go crazy. They confuse you. They misguide you. And they take you away from the right path. Amnam ha'olech bin ha'shvilim, but a person who's in the path, lo yuchal lirot o ledat klalim u'shvil amitiyo bechozev. That is such a sad statement, that thing. When you're in the path, you have no way of knowing if it's correct or if it's false. When you're leading your life and you're trying to do good, but you're not getting guidance from chachamim about the right path, You're not necessarily a fan Torah, you're just trying to figure out the way on your own. You have no way of knowing, no way of telling, is the path you're on now one that's going to lead you to Hashem or take you away? You might think I'm doing something good and you end up being in the wrong place. You might think I'm doing something bad and by mistake you end up in the right place. How did that happen? There's no way of testing and there's no way of knowing. Ki kulam shavim. Because when you're in the world, you're not looking at yourself. You're just acting. You didn't do a movie and you're watching the movie to analyze how it went. You're in the middle of the movie. You're just playing it out. Ki kulam shavim ve'ein efresh b'neim la'ein aratam. Im lo, she'edah ha'derech v'bekiut. Unless you've been through this path many times. If it's your own personal maze, and you've traversed it again and again and again and again, and you know it very well, you've been through this path many times. V'tzviut ayin, and you can identify, meaning you've learned the skills to identify, that if you start this particular path, it's going to lead you to an unhappy place. It's going to lead you to doing an avera. When you become more sensitive to yourself, you're able to start identifying the paths within your inner heart. You're able to identify that when I start this type of pattern of thought, I end up doing bad things. When I start this pattern of thought, I'm able to then follow it and go through. When I try this method of learning, I end up just dropping it in midway. But when I try this method of learning, this is my successful way. When I try to do chazorah in this manner, it works successful. When I try this manner of chazorah, it doesn't work. With time, you start to identify the paths. You become aware, if you're looking to be sensitive. People who go through blindfolded their whole lives, it will be as hard as it was on day one. But people who are going through the world with the goal of identifying the different inner world that they have and the paths that they take and where it leads them to. Often people have come to discuss a topic with me and they know the answer already, they just haven't contemplated. I say, when you've done this in the past, where did it lead you to? Did you end up feeling better about yourself or worse? Did you end up feeling close to Hashem or further away from Hashem? They say, further away, like it wasn't good. So you now, I have identified that that's not a good path for you. Try and put it in words. What is it about that path that wasn't good for you? And when they think it, and they contemplate it, they realize, you know what wasn't good about it for me? It was because the reason I was doing it was because I was wanting to show off to someone, whatever it was. Or I was trying to like do too much in one go and I didn't like think about it properly. I tried to accomplish it. Whatever it was they identify, that their false belief was. So you don't have to make that mistake again. The Yetzer Hara blinds you not to identify what it was that you made the mistake, and you make the same mistake again and again and again in different contexts, but again and again. But if you're sensitive, and you have a false belief in a certain area, that you have to learn and learn and learn and finish so much without doing chazar because you have to accomplish, but that doesn't accomplish anything because you just forget everything. Okay, but don't think about that. Do it again next day. Do it again next day. Do it again next day. But if you're paying attention, you'll identify the paths, what leads to goodness. So we're in the middle of the mashal of the maze. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue from here tomorrow.